Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. Today, we are joined by Chris Ostergaard, a sought-after speaker, facilitator, researcher, and expert on innovation in legacy organizations, corporate cultures, and exponential organizations. His book is Transforming Legacy Organizations: Turn Your Established Business into an Innovation Champion to Win the Future. And Mr. Ostergaard, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Bill, thank you very much for having me.
And you're most welcome. Our pleasure. So for starters, what motivated you to write this book, Transforming Legacy Organizations?
Yeah, so I've been working in the space of innovation for many years, and both with startups and with large established companies, the ones that we sometimes call legacy organizations. And it struck me that we live in this world where we talk about the massively successful startups, the unicorns, the plus $1 billion valuable companies that seemingly come out of nowhere and disrupt not just other companies, but entire industries. And this is also true and a part of the picture. And there's a lot to learn from those companies. What is also true, I find, is that innovation in the large established companies, the ones that have decades, if not hundreds of years of background and history, et cetera, innovation is something very different in those companies. And that's what I wanted to address.
And of course, we thank you for taking the time and the effort to do so. Now, in your book, you state that innovation is much harder in larger organizations than in startups. Why is that? Get into some of those details.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so innovation is much harder for large companies because simply their systems are much more complex. They have typically much larger structures. They have many more offerings of sorts. They have much more complicated processes. So that complicates the picture simply and makes everything, including innovation, more difficult. However, there's also good news to this story. And the good news for the large established companies is that no one really has a better chance of succeeding with their innovation initiatives, also compared to the startups, because what they have that startups don't have is all the resources, it being money, it being cost, it being data, it being infrastructure, etc. So the paradox here actually is that while it's more difficult, they have a bigger chance of succeeding, and that has far less to do with money and far more to do with their mindsets and how they choose to design for innovation.
I certainly appreciate your feedback there. Most helpful. Now, Mr. Ostergaard, the book begins with addressing old questions that organizations need to explore in new ways. For example, that they must explore their 6 degrees of competition. What is that all about?
Yeah, so it's about asking some of the old questions that we've been asking ourselves in business for a long time, but viewing it with new lenses. And one of them is, who are our competitors? And that becomes increasingly difficult because we see technologies melding together, and now we also see industries melding together. So competition can come from very different angles. And one way to explore that is to do this exercise that we call 6 degrees of competition. So in the book, I use the example of coffee that to sort of illustrate the point. So if you take like 400 grams of ground coffee from Folgers, for instance, you can buy it in the supermarket, just to keep it simple. Now, if you start exploring what's like the first obvious degree of competition, but then go all the way out to the 6th degree of competition to tie the knot back to how that might affect those 400 grams of coffee that Folgers is selling, well, then you see that the 1st degree of competition obviously is, for example, Nescafe or dozens of other brands that have almost identical products. And we say 2nd degree of competition, that might be tea. If you drink tea, you don't drink coffee. 3rd degree might be Red Bull, right? It's cold, it's not hot, but it's loaded with caffeine, provides same value in many ways. 4th degree might be Starbucks. If you go to Starbucks and pay a lot of money for coffee, you don't brew it at home. But what happens once you go sort of beyond the 3rd, 4th degree and into the 5th, 6th degree and start exploring what we see of technological development and how that may impact, and something interesting starts to happen. And they fifth degree of competition to those 400 grams of coffee you can buy in the supermarket may be a meditation device, for instance, called the Muse, which is something that you put on your head and it can read your brain waves. So it can read whether your brain is in beta, alpha, or theta state, meaning how focused you are. And by using this meditation device, you are in fact able to train yourself to focus much better and thus to gain more hours of, you know, focus, for instance, similar to what we want in coffee many times. And the sixth degree of competition, I argue, well, what about autonomous vehicles, self-driving cars? Because what happens in the near future when we are able to, many of us are able to take a self-driving car to work and no longer have to hold a steering wheel in the morning to get to work? Will that mean that we won't drink that extra cup of coffee? Well, perhaps, perhaps not. Maybe we'll just enjoy it more. But a lot of coffee brands, also Starbucks, even Red Bull, they sell somewhere between 20 and 40% of their products in gas stations. So what happens when we no longer need gas stations? That is potentially disruptive for the coffee brand and coffee producer. And the question, of course, becomes, do they in the boardrooms and management teams of the coffee producers, or, you know, insert your own value offering, discuss the fifth and sixth degrees of competition? And in most cases, the answer is no, they do not. And that means they're missing out on a lot of threat, but also a lot of opportunity.
Today, we're joined by Mr. Chris Ostergaard, a sought-after speaker, facilitator, researcher, and expert on innovation in legacy organizations, corporate cultures, and exponential organizations. His book is Transforming Legacy Organizations, Turn Your Established Business into an Innovation Champion to Win the Future. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, you also write about immune systems as barrier towards innovation in organizations. Can you explain what it is that is holding organizations back when it comes to innovation?
Yeah, so we sometimes use that metaphor of the immune system that companies also have, similar to like the body has an immune system that is protecting it from dangers from the outside. Companies also have that, but what happens is that that immune system typically is designed for an old world, and that means that the stuff that it is trying to hold out might actually be beneficial for it and not a danger, even though it treats it like that. And that is a very, very common problem in most established organizations. And so that immune system is effectively holding their innovation back, and that is constructed both of individual immune system, which is about, you know, human barriers to change and psychological resistance. But in fact, even more important than that is what I call the organizational immune system, which is the system, which is the key performance indicators and reward systems, or the legacy IT and processes and the demands for quick returns that investors and shareholders have. And those are, in fact, way more important barriers towards innovation, that human resistance to change, which is the typical thing that we all point to. They don't want to change. So if you want to optimize for innovation, you need to do the analysis and identify those significant barriers inside your organization and be aware that it's more important to change the system than it is to change people. If you change the system, then the people will follow.
And that is for sure on that. Good stuff. Now, you argue that culture plays a very important role in innovation as well. Explain more details on that.
Yeah. So culture is, if you like, the hard problem in innovation. It has far more to do with culture than technology. And so the thing is that in most established companies, we have what you could call a status quo culture. So we're most comfortable with the existing. And that's a default, almost human condition. And it is like that because we have been conditioned like that as human beings, going through our educational systems and all the jobs we've had in large companies. And in fact, there's this remarkable study that was conducted over 10 years that shows this point exactly. So here the researchers took 1,600 children plus 280,000 adults as a control group and tested them for divergent thinking, which means the ability to have truly original ideas. And what they found out was that the children at the age of 4 to 5, 98% of them were creative geniuses. But when they took the control group of adults, they found that only 2% were creative geniuses. And in fact, when they redid the study with 8 to 10-year-olds, it had dropped to 30%, and 15-year-olds, it had dropped to 10%. So that study shows that our educational systems actively make us unlearn our inborn creative abilities, literally. And that is also emphasized and reinstated in our large corpus once we go out and start working. And that we massively need to change, because that creates a change, a culture of status quo. And what we need is a culture where everyone is comfortable with change and are thriving in that, because that is the type of world that we live in now.
And certainly appreciate your perspective on that. Now, the book also discusses how larger established organizations must innovate in three tracks simultaneously. What are those tracks and why is that?
Yeah, so this is the reason why innovation is much harder for large companies. I mean, they have these much more complex systems, and that means they need to design for innovation in multiple tracks at the same time. So the first track is the optimizing innovations. That is the metaphorical extra blade on the razor. You know, when the razor manufacturer has a TV ad and says, now we don't have three blades, now we have four blades on the razor, right? That's an optimization. And in itself, it's good and right to do that and important to do that. You must continuously optimize. But what you are doing here is you're improving upon the past. So this is only for the short term. So in order to also innovate for the midterm and the long term, you need to also prepare for the future and invent the future. And preparing for the future, you do with augmenting innovation. That is where most digital transformation projects live. That is where companies go from analog to digital, or when they needed to become mobile first. So now we hear all the big companies saying we need to be AI first, artificial intelligence. And that will continue. We continuously will need to augment, to upgrade the core of our organizations, leveraging the technology and the technological capabilities that we gain. And the third track is the mutating innovations. That is not where we upgrade the core, but where we challenge the core. So that is where we conduct much more radical experiments and do the what ifs and explore technologies and business models that we are not used to and don't really know, but we start experimenting in with them to figure out who we might become in the future.
Mr. Ostergaard, certainly appreciate your joining us here today on the program. One last question for you, and in conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, anything else you'd like to share as we wrap things up here today?
Yeah, I think, you know, back to the points that I just made, it's massively important that in any type of transformation or innovation projects or large shifts that we see in companies, both big and small, that are really important, is that it's far more about enabling people than it is about people holding things back. And typically, in order to enable people, you need to look at how you have designed your system. And if you design that right, then people will follow and help you create the success and impact that you want.
Absolutely there. And again, we thank you for all the information shared here today per your expertise. And certainly appreciate your writing the book, Transforming Legacy Organizations. And I'm sure listeners want to know how they can connect with you, get more information on your book, as well as pick up the book in your organization. Where can they get further details online?
So Amazon has it available, so that's by far the easiest. And they can also go to my website, which is a little bit more difficult because it needs to spell my name, which is Chris Ostergaard. Chris with a K, and Ostergaard, which is OestergaardGaard.com.
Well, that certainly works, and we'll leave a link within the show notes of this broadcast to assist as well. Again, Mr. Ostergaard, all the best, and thanks again for joining us here on Enterprise Radio.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
And ours as well. We've been speaking with Mr. Chris Ostergaard, a sought-after speaker, facilitator, researcher, and expert on innovation in legacy organizations, corporate cultures, and exponential organizations. His book is Transforming Legacy Organizations. Turn your established business into an innovation champion to win the future. And for further details, visit chrisostergaard.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.